So we continue tonight our studies in the commandments and particularly on the fourth commandment. So that's to be found in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now we're working our way through the larger catechism. These catechism expound the commandments for us. And we've reached tonight question 120. Larger catechism question 120. What are the reasons annexed to the fourth commandment, the more to enforce it? The reasons annexed to the fourth commandment, the more to enforce it, are taken from the equity of it, God allowing us 6 days of seven for our own affairs, and reserving but one for himself. In these words, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. From God challenging a special propriety in that day. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. From the example of God, who in 6 days made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. And from that blessing which God put upon that day, not only in sanctifying it to be a day for his service, but in ordaining it to be a means of blessing to us, in our sanctifying it. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So the question tonight is, why keep the Sabbath day holy? What are the reasons that God gives us for keeping this day holy? The reasons annexed, added to it, the more to enforce it, to stress its importance and persuade us to keep it. Now, we shouldn't need any reason at all, of course. God says, come, we should come. God says, go, we should go. God says, keep the Sabbath day holy. We should keep it holy. God is sovereign. God is master, and we are his servants. God is king. So we have a duty to obey. Yet God gives four reasons here to encourage us in our obedience. There can be a reluctance sometimes to keep the Sabbath, and maybe even some people think, why so much emphasis on the Sabbath? Why all these catechisms about the Sabbath? Surely we could deal with the Sabbath in just one catechism, one question, and that's it. But it's something that is very important. The Puritans, the Westminster Divines, saw it as so important that they gave more questions and answers to the fourth commandment than any other. It's such an important one. In some ways, it's the most neglected of all the commandments, even by Christians. Born-again Christians, there are many born-again Christians in the world who bother little about the Sabbath day, who do their pleasure on God's holy day. Some who would claim to be truly born again, and yet they use the Sabbath day for work, for making money, doing what they want on God's day. It's neglected. It needs to be emphasized. So what are the reasons then annexed, the reasons given? The first reason is that God has given us 6 days, and he only asks for one day. 6 days out of 7 for our own affairs. So God's only asking for 1/7. God could ask for every day to be given to him. And he could rightly ask for every second day to be given to him. But he gives us 6 days for our work, our pleasures, our leisure activities. And one day is all that he asks for out of 7. 1/7 for God. So that's surely not a great demand. So that's the first thing. God gives us 6 days. Surely we can give him one. One at the end of 6 days. And then the second reason is that God makes a special claim on this day. God says, as we have here from God challenging a special propriety in that day. It's his property. He claims it. The Lord's day. The Sabbath day. God's day. God claims it. So that's another reason. It's his Sabbath to be given to him. And then a third reason is that God himself set the example first. God worked for 6 days and then rested. God created the world in 6 days and then he rested on the 7th day. God sets us an example. Be like God. Be like me, says God. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Follow my example. We're good at following the example of so many people, following the fashions of the world around us, following this person and that person. Well, the best person we can follow surely is God. And God set the example. 6 days work, one day of rest. And then the fourth reason is that God blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. God blessed it. How do you bless a day? How can a day be blessed? The day is not blessed in itself, but it is blessed in the sense that it becomes a blessing to us. It's a day for blessing us, a day for teaching us, a day for encouraging us, a day for sanctifying us, a day for growth and grace. Day even for conversions. God blessed the Sabbath day, and if we follow God's example, God will bless us as we keep the Sabbath. He hallowed it, he set it apart, and he blessed it to be a blessing to you and a blessing to me. So we have here then God's equity. God is reasonable. God is fair. That's the idea behind equity, fairness, justice. 6 days for our enjoyment. God just asking one day in the week. That's not a lot. Of course, that doesn't mean that we can do what we like on the other 6 days. In the sense of sinning or immorality or envy or idolatry or whatever. Of course not. We are to glorify God and to enjoy him every day of our lives, and we are to obey God every day. So God's commandments are to be kept by us. His law is to be the rule of our life. And in thought, word and deed, we are to seek to be obedient to the scriptures. We must glorify God on every day, but yet the Sabbath is special. It's to be directly used. It's to be for worshipping. Worshipping God. Public worship, private worship. Reading His Word, singing His praises, meditating on His truth, talking together about the things of God, reading good books, encouraging us in the faith. That's the way we're to spend it. So the other days we have work, we have our families and so on, and our social activities and all kinds of activities, and our leisure activities too that are recreational and refreshing for us. But God wants one day to be spent particularly in worship. One day as a kind of foretaste of heaven. One day for Him directly. So equity then. God is very fair in what He does. He gives us 6 days for ourselves, one for Him. And then God's special propriety in this day. It's His property. It belongs to Him. And we must not do our pleasure, as Isaiah says, or God says through Isaiah 58, doing our pleasure on God's holy day. God's day. Your days and God's day. He claims it. It's His day. Jesus said, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. The Master of the Sabbath. Give the day to the Master. He claims it as His own. He has a special propriety, special property in that day. And He has a right to claim it. Because He's our Creator. He's made us. Made us. We belong to Him. Made this world. It all belongs to Him. And He has a right to say what we should do and what we shouldn't do. And because the Sabbath is God's day, if we misuse it, we are thieves. Will a man rob God? There's lots of people robbing God. How do they rob God? By stealing His holy day for their own use. Stealing from God. Stealing His property. Stealing for their own pleasure. God's day belongs to Him. Don't be a thief. Stealing His day. Why did God rest on the Sabbath? It wasn't because He was tired. God is infinitely strong, powerful. He can do anything and everything. There's no limit to His power. He created all things out of nothing by the word of His power. All out of nothing. Just said it and it happened. So why then did God rest on the Sabbath? Not because He was tired, but in order to show you and me what we're to do. To set an example before us. Be like me. Rest on the Sabbath day. Some people think the Sabbath day was just for the Jews. But if the Sabbath day was just for the Jews, it would have been given at Mount Sinai as a law for the Jews, along with the various sacrifices and other laws. But the Sabbath day was given at creation. Long before the Jews existed. Thousands of years before the Jews existed, God created the world in 6 days and rested and hallowed the Sabbath day, calling it His own, and gave it to mankind so that Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden kept the Sabbath. And after they were cast out of Eden, there was still that duty and obligation, that moral law upon them to remember the Sabbath day. Similarly, Abel and Seth kept the Sabbath. No doubt to begin with, Cain did too. But We know how Cain rebelled. And so the Sabbath was set down in Genesis. It was set down there. We have reference to it in the weeks that Laban speaks of and that Jacob had to work that week of years in order to obtain a wife. So the Sabbath was given not to the Jews, but to all. And the Sabbath is very much a type of heaven. God entered into his rest on the seventh day. And you and I are to enter into that rest on the seventh day. The Lord Jesus, following his massive work on the day of preparation, his sufferings, his enduring of hell, rested on the Sabbath day. Another great pattern for us. Jesus lay in the grave on the Sabbath day. And then he rose the first day of the week, entering into the enjoyment of his finished work, entering into the salvation of his people. And so the first day of the week is laid down as the Christian Sabbath, when the work of redemption is completed and we keep it for the risen Lord. We remember the Lord's day, the day the Lord rose from the dead, having earned salvation for us, having purged our sins in his own body on the tree, washed us and cleansed us by his blood. Now he is risen and he is at God's right hand in heaven, and we are to keep the Lord's day. But will heaven be a kind of state of idleness, doing nothing? Some blasphemers think that and say that. But heaven will not be idleness. Heaven will be activity. Just like the Sabbath day is not to be spent in idleness. We're not to spend the day sleeping or lying about. We're to be active in the public and private exercises of worship in heaven. Remember Revelation chapter 4. They rest not day nor night, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And you and I will rest not day and night in heaven, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Will we be tired then? No, because tiredness and sweat are part of the curse, and they came into this world following the sin of Adam. By the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread. And Adam had to sweat after it. Sweat, toil, stress, strain belong to a cursed world. There's no curse in heaven. There's no night there, no need for a night of rest. But day and night, forever and ever, worshipping the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How is the Sabbath day blessed? The Sabbath day is blessed by being set apart for God, given over to Him. And in that way, it becomes a blessing to us. And a day when souls are converted, Christians are taught and sanctified, when God's people feed upon the bread that came down from heaven, having fellowship with God, enjoying the love of God and the love of the brethren. And when we sanctify the Lord's day, it becomes a blessing to us. So that's then question 120. And we'll move on now to the last of these questions relating to the Sabbath day, question 121. Why is the word "remember" set in the beginning of the fourth commandment. The word remember is set in the beginning of the fourth commandment partly because of the great benefit of remembering it. We being thereby helped in our preparation to keep it, and in keeping it, better to keep all the rest of the commandments, and to continue a thankful remembrance of the two great benefits of creation and redemption, which contain a short abridgment of religion, and partly because we are very ready to forget it, for that there is less light of nature in it, and yet it restraineth our natural liberty in things at other times lawful, that it cometh but once in 7 days, and many worldly businesses come between, and too often take off our minds from thinking of it, either to preparation of it, or to sanctify it, and that Satan with his instruments, much labour to blot out the glory and even the memory of it, to bring in all irreligion and impiety. So the word remember, why is it there at the beginning? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And we have here a list of reasons. Because there's great benefit first. First reason, great benefit in remembering it. It's a blessing to our bodies, as our bodies rest from weekly toil. It's a rest for our minds, as our minds rest from the strain and anxieties of the week. And it's a rest for our souls, as we are enabled to enjoy and feast upon Christ. Remember it, because it's a great blessing. But next, remember it, because that will help us to prepare for the keeping of it. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and so organize your work and your life that you have a Sabbath. Organize your activities, organize your business, organize your duties and responsibilities so that you prepare for the Sabbath and that your mind is as clear as possible to enjoy the Sabbath day. Remember it in that sense for the better state of mind for keeping it. And then we're told that remembering it helps us keep the rest of the commandments. How is that? Because remembering the Sabbath day keeps us in touch with God. And remembering the Sabbath day brings God very strongly before us and the importance of being holy. And remembering the Sabbath day means that we come to church and we hear sermons which challenge us about our Christian life. And we read our Bibles and good books and meditate and pray. And these things are all encouraging us to keep the other commandments. So when we keep the fourth commandment, it provides us with what we need in order to keep the other commandments too. It gives us that day for stirring ourselves up to seek after holiness and godliness. It gives us that day when we're in touch with God, for deepening our relationship with God, increasing our love of God. And if you love me, you keep my commandments. A day when the soul is kept healthy, and that healthiness of the soul helps us keep the rest of God's commandments and keep communion with God throughout the week, because we've got these high points on the Sabbath. Then, remember, because a thankful remembrance has two great benefits. You're remembering the two great benefits of creation and redemption. The Old Testament Sabbath was very much tied with creation. God created the world in 6 days and then he rested, and so people were to think of God's creative work, look around, see it, admire it, and think of the Creator. And then redemption, because redemption is tied in with the Sabbath, because the Sabbath for Christians in the New Testament is the Lord's Day, the day when he completed redemption. So there's these two great benefits, creation and redemption, which contain a short abridgment of religion. If you want to think about religion, what God has done, you have an abridged form of it in the Sabbath, because it says to us, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, and do this in remembrance of me, the Lord Jesus Christ. Short abridgment of the gospel, creation and redemption. That really includes just about everything, doesn't it? God made us. God redeems us. And that's it. That's the good news of the gospel. We're creatures responsible to God that have sinned against him. And the Son of God died for us on the cross to redeem us. Two great benefits of creation and redemption, which contain a short abridgment of religion. So, the next thing that we have to notice here is that we are very apt to forget the Sabbath, for that there is less of the light of nature for it. Yet it restraineth our natural liberty in things at other times. If you didn't have a Bible and you were dependent on the light of nature, on creation around you and the consciousness of God in your conscience and your heart, it wouldn't be easy to keep the Sabbath, would it? From the light of nature, you would have the thought, well, I should give some special time to God. I should have times of worshipping God, but that's really about it, isn't it? You need God's special revelation to tell you that you are to keep one day out of seven. And because the light of nature teaches you that you shouldn't steal, and the light of nature teaches you that you shouldn't attack a person and murder a person, that you shouldn't tell lies, that you should worship God. But the light of nature does not clearly teach us to keep one day in seven holy. That's why God says remember. Remember, because we are ready to forget it, so that there is less of the light of nature in it. And yet, it restraineth our natural liberty in things that at other times are lawful. That it cometh but once in 7 days, and many worldly businesses come between, and too often take our minds from thinking of it, either to prepare for it or to sanctify it. The Sabbath comes only one day in seven. On the other 6 days, we've got lots of things to do. We've got lots of work and business and earning our money and preparing our food and looking after our families and our homes and all these obligations and pleasures as well. And we can be so busy for 6 days, and so we need to remember, because of all the things that happen between the Sundays, it's important for us to remember the Sabbath day. There's all these distractions. One way of thinking about it, even more clearly this point, is one thing I've noticed with adherence in the church. Those who normally are respectable, responsible, church-going, and if they become nurses or doctors, where maybe they've only got one Sabbath day clear in four, so much easier for these people to forget about the Sabbath altogether. Because they've only got this one day in four when they can maybe come to church. And if you're waiting for another month before you come to church, if you miss one Sunday, it's 2 months before you're back in church. If you miss two Sundays, then it's maybe 3 months. And it's very easy for people like that to stop going to church altogether. It's something I've noticed over the years. A temptation for those who are, say, who are working in works of necessity and mercy, where they have to work Sabbaths and maybe only get an odd Sabbath off. And so, for a Christian nurse, a Christian doctor, there has to be a particular effort to keep the Sabbath, because it's so easy to forget it. But this idea is presented here in the catechism, larger catechism 121, in saying that even for all of us, because we're so busy with our worldly work and our worldly enjoyments through the week, that it's easy to forget the Sabbath. Too busy with legitimate work and relaxation. And then some people find the Sabbath burdensome. They want to be at their work or at their pleasure. Remember the words in the prophecy of Amos. Those who were longing till the Sabbath would be passed, so that they could sell their corn, making the ephah small and the shekel great. Stealing from people a small amount of flour for a large amount of money. This was the idea, but they were longing till the Sabbath was passed so that they could get on with their work and make their money and their business. God sees these things. Amos chapter 8, and God is angry with it. So many people, yes, it's true, they find the Sabbath burdensome. They've got their business and they want to be involved in it on the Sabbath, or they've got their work, they've got this profession or whatever it is, and it takes up their minds through the week, and they want to give their minds to it on the Sabbath, or their pleasures, whatever it is. Remember. The word remember, because people find it burdensome. Their worldly business comes in between and they find it burdensome. And then, finally, Satan and his agents labor to destroy the Sabbath. Satan with its instruments much labor to blot out the glory and even the memory of it, to bring in all irreligion and impiety. Satan hates the Sabbath. He hates it because it's a blessed day for God's people, and it's a blessed day for sinners who are saved. He hates the preaching of the gospel, and so he does everything he can to undermine the Sabbath, to distract from it. It's a day when souls are saved, and if he wants to keep souls from being saved, he'll try and secularize the Sabbath as much as possible. He'll try and get people involved in watching television and videos and all sorts of things on the Sabbath, so that they won't be thinking about their soul and receiving blessing and good for their souls. Satan and his agents, sometimes using even Christians and ministers, to undermine the Sabbath. So many attacking the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Sabbath is a great bulwark of the Christian church. It's a great bulwark against Satan. But Satan is constantly attacking it. And Jesus says, those that break one of the least of these my commandments and teach men so, they shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. It's a serious thing to be undermining commitment to the Sabbath, to be teaching in any way against the Sabbath. It's allowing yourself to be used by Satan to undermine and destroy one of the great blessings that God has given to the Christian church. Satan, with his instruments, much labor to blot out the glory of the Sabbath, to reduce its glory, to reduce its influence, and even the memory of the Sabbath, and to bring in all irreligion and impiety. And we see that, don't we, in our own society. Everything being done to undermine the Sabbath. All kinds of sport on the Sabbath. All kinds of top championships on the Sabbath. All kinds of special programs on the Sabbath. All kinds of pressure to do certain work on the Sabbath. Wherever you look, the media, the government, industry and commerce doing all that they can to undermine the Sabbath. Satan and his agents. And so, with you and me, let us remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, because God blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.